Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text of the Gospel. We see somebody who comes, is there a very short time, and disappears. His name is John the Baptist. He's a short-tailed relative of Jesus, a cousin, I guess. They probably knew each other somewhat. I don't know how closely, but they were aware of each other. And John comes on the scene, a little strange looking. He gets driven out of the edge of society. He's wearing some sort of a piece of camel skin with a belt around his waist. He's got a great diet. Even the dietitians would like this one. Wild honey and locusts. So he's eating bugs and wild honey. Protein, a little bit of good sugar. Probably a really good diet. I'd probably lose weight if I did that, if I didn't die from the idea of eating locusts. But someplace in the Old Testament, there's a thing that says that you can eat anything if the legs are so many and do such and such a thing. But I'd really rather have a hamburger if I had a choice. So John shows up. He's a little strange, but he's proclaiming something even stranger. He's proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know it doesn't say forgiveness of sins in this lesson, but the parallel lesson in Mark does. So, yeah, you steal one from the other. So John's preparing the way for Jesus to come. The politicians send out these people they call advance men. And they're sent out to warm up the crowd, to whip them up so they're ready to listen to whatever this great politician is that they're sending out and what his fantastic message is. John's the advance man for Jesus of Nazareth. And he comes, and he's preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So what's repentance mean anyway? It's got an idea of a change. A significant change in somebody's life. A 180-degree change, if you will. Going from one direction to the opposite. Understanding what our sinful nature is and being willing to change and go the other way and accept the forgiveness of sins. Now, they'd talked repentance before. The Old Testament's got a number of points where they really want people to repent and change. Well, it doesn't always work that way, but they're always reminded to do it. They're always told to do it, and they're supposed to be able to understand to do it. But now he couples it with the forgiveness of sins and baptism. You put all three of those together, you got a potent combination to set up for the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. Repentance, change what you're doing. Change from the direction that you're going that you know is wrong. You really do. You know it's wrong. You know it's not right. Change from that. Be forgiven and be baptized. Baptism. It wasn't unheard of by the Jews. It was basically used for washing your dishes and cups and saucers. And of course, then there were the few converts from the unclean, that's us, the Gentiles, the goyim, the ones who really weren't accepted. You would baptize them because you wanted to wash all that trash off them before you accepted them. But there wasn't anything combined with it that talked about forgiveness. It was just a cleaning, a cleansing. But John adds to it. He says, come, repent, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So he's preparing for Jesus by getting people to understand what they are, who they are, how they relate to God, and that they can be forgiven. Forgiveness is kind of a new trick for the Jews. They understood how things were. When you did something that wasn't acceptable, you got out the Ten Commandments and you looked at them. And if you didn't understand what you did wrong, you went to the priest or one of the Sadducees or somebody who was in the know, and you ask them and they'd tell you what you did wrong because they knew what you did wrong all the time. Even if you didn't, they do. So they could tell you what it was that you fell short on, and they could tell you what you had to do to make God happy. It was a sacrifice of some kind, whatever it was. It could be material things. It could be fine flour. It could be something to bake with, or it could be an animal sacrifice. The animal sacrifices were more common. And what happened with the animal is they butchered it, and they took the blood, and they held onto that blood in some kind of a container, bowl, whatever. And then that would be splattered upon the altar, and God would look on the blood, see the blood was shed, and forgive the sins of the people. So it was a continuous train of dead animals, carcasses, and lots of blood. And once a year, they did on the Day of Atonement for the whole people. They would send that priest in with a big bowl of blood to splatter on the altar to get God to forgive the sins of all the people. They also did a neat little thing at the time. They tied a rope around this guy's leg because he was going into the Holy of Holies, in beyond the curtain, where God lived. And he was going to look God in the eye and deliver this bowl of blood so that God would accept that for the sins of the people and forgive them and give them hope. Well, they tied a rope to his leg because they weren't sure he wasn't coming back. And anybody that looked on God might die. And they didn't want to have to go in and get him. So if God found him not to be acceptable, then he could. And he struck him dead, which he could. Then instead of sending somebody in to go get him, they just pull on the rope. So the Jews understood the concept of blood and forgiveness. I'm not so sure they understood the concept of baptism combined with repentance and forgiveness. That wasn't something that was normal to them. So this is what John is proclaiming prior to the coming of Jesus. Okay, something's going to be different, people. Pay attention. This is going to be different than sending somebody in there every year with a bowl full of blood. This is going to be sacrifice of one man in place of everybody else. One holy blood for everybody's sin. And the baptism is going to be washing you in repentance and allowing you to understand that your sins are forgiven. So the preparation for Jesus is confession. Understanding what you've done. Being honest with yourself, even if you can't be with anybody else. Understanding what you've done and what's not acceptable to God. If you have a question as what that is, get out your copy of the Ten Commandments and go down through that. Look at all the things that define what's acceptable and what's not. And then understand that you can't do it yourself. It can only be done by God. He's the only one that can forgive. And so he does this. And he does this after these people repent of what they've done and are baptized, they're forgiven and given back their lives. So John's a little strange. He's not around long. Like most of them, he's a New Testament prophet, if you will. And the prophets are a tough group. There aren't many people in the old prophet's home. And the prophet's retirement really doesn't amount to much. Because most of them didn't live long enough to get it. And John didn't either. He literally lost his head in the deal. Before very long, he got on the wrong side of a personality conflict between a leader and his wife. And he got his head literally handed to him. So John wasn't around long. But he did baptize a lot of people. But then the Sadducees and the Pharisees came and I don't know what they believed, but they figured they'd better do it. Maybe they were looking at it as fire insurance. You know, we'll take a chance. Can't hurt us. And he looked at him, you bunch of snakes. Who told you to flee before the wrath to come? So he wasn't making himself any friends there either. Whether he baptized them or not, I don't know. Doesn't really say. He tried to drive them out. But I'm not sure what their response totally was. Probably they said, yo, we could make things easy on you or make things difficult on you. Why do you do this to us? Because you deserve to have it done to you. And so he's the one who's the precursor. He's the one who comes before. He's the one who brings the good news. There's somebody coming. He's the Advent theme. There's something coming. Watch and see what happens next. Be prepared. Be baptized. Sins forgiven and hope in the coming of one who would be the Savior of all. May the Advent theme be for you something that's helpful as we go toward Christmas. And good luck in getting everything ready for Christmas. We got this done yesterday, and it was a really good trick. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.